This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Ooh,
inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark.
Yeah!
Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Friday afternoon, July 11th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Previews indicate that the new Superman movie will be a blockbuster. We'll delve into that during our next segment. But right now, stocks are lower today as President Trump's new Canada tariff threat rattled markets. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Paul Christopher, head of Global Investment Strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thank you for joining us today. Now, President Trump announced 35% tariffs on Canada starting on August 1st and warning of higher levies if Canada retaliates with its own tariffs in response. Now, how do you parse this as an analyst? Because we have seen this dance before, and it usually ends with an agreement and an announcement to kick the can down the road another 60 or 90 days. But you can't be that cynical all the time.
No, you certainly can't. And the markets, we think, were too sanguine. For much of April, May, and June, as the market, the S&P, reached a new all-time high, and now the markets are beginning to rethink that idea a little bit. We don't think it's fair to say that Trump will always pull back on tariff threats. We don't think that's accurate. We've already seen considerable tariffs on Canada. There may be some negotiations down the road, but one thing investors should be sure of, and that is we will see significant tariffs between now and the end of the summer.
Now, we've been so used to the era of free trade going back decades that maybe tariff negotiations, especially with our North American partners, may seem like a distant memory. But also, we're in this era where everything, especially in this administration, everything takes place publicly and everything takes place as content for social media. So if you are an analyst and you're trying to figure out what happens next, what can you put in the bucket of actual economic policy that you can act on and make plans on? And what can you place in the bucket of this is merely social media content to be consumed by people on their phones?
Yeah, that's a great question. In the first place, I would get off the social media. When it comes to policy, that's no place to analyze policy prospects and then make investment decisions. You have to try to be right, because the markets ultimately will follow what's actually going to happen. And so it's not right to say that Trump will inevitably blink or pull back or add more pauses. He's going to have significant tariffs. The markets now are struggling with the idea that we just had tariffs come out of the blue on Brazil. Now a new tariff on Canada. It's that continued uncertainty that really bothers markets the most. So what you want to try to do here is, if you're really risk averse, put some cash to the side, you can collect a good money market rate on it for the time being. We think that the tariff talk will settle down sometime in the early autumn, maybe by September. That will be the time to begin looking for what's pulled back that you think has good long-term prospects.
Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up, the latest summer blockbuster has arrived at movie theaters.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The summer movie box office heats up today with the official opening of Superman. Joining us to discuss is Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore, based in Los Angeles. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And this latest iteration of Superman, it's got it. It seems to have a great deal of hit-making potential based on preview audience numbers and based on their audience reactions.
Rob, you're exactly right. We have the preview numbers from last night in, $22.5 million. That's a huge number. To put that in perspective, Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice that opened way back on March 25th of 2016 had a $27 million preview day, went on to make $166 million in its domestic debut. So this portends a $100 million plus opening for this latest Superman. You're right, a lot of buzz behind it. Crypto, I saw the movie last night, no spoilers. I love Crypto the Superdog, just laying it out there.
Now, what does this mean for the movie theaters themselves, and how have they been doing so far this summer?
Well, this summer has been fantastic, Rob. I mean, we're running 16% ahead of last summer. Of course, last summer had a lot of headwinds with the strikes affecting the production schedule, and in turn affecting the release calendar. That threw everything into disarray. This year, we have no such problem. We had Thunderbolts, a Marvel movie, to kick off the summer. We didn't have that last year. We had a record-breaking Memorial weekend in the summer of 2025. Last summer, the summer of 24, Memorial weekend was the lowest grossing in decades. So what a difference a year makes. A lot of great movies, Lilo and Stitch, How to Train Your Dragon, Mission Impossible, the aforementioned Thunderbolts, Jurassic World, Rebirth, F1, some great movies out there, and it's fueling a desire for people to go to the movies and keep going back. That's really important for movie theaters. That's their lifeblood, is having people in the theaters.
Now, Paul, I'm of the age that when a blockbuster movie came out with a great deal of anticipation, and for purposes of this example, I'm going to go with Independence Day because of the 4th of July was not too long ago. There's the Super Bowl commercial, there's the trailer, there's this hype cycle, and then the movie is released, and then you determine if you want to see the movie based on whether or not Siskel and Ebert like it. And then the movie is released and people go see it. This time around, with Superman and any other blockbuster potential film, there's all sorts of public relations headwinds coming from directions that you can't really anticipate anymore. There's you have cable news going after a movie, you have social media campaigns going after the director, and it seems like so far Superman is navigating those particular tides fairly well.
It is. And you bring up a great point, because it used to be the Siskel and Ebert, their recommendation, the thumbs up or thumbs down, the water cooler discussion on Monday after the weekend, because we didn't have, back in my day as well, Rob, we didn't have social media. Today, the news cycle is immediate. It's ongoing. You mentioned some of the headwinds the film is facing in terms of on the news programs. There is a bit of controversy around the film. It doesn't appear to have impacted the movie at all. And in fact, you know, most people, I mean, I'm just saying, if you're the typical moviegoer, you see the trailer, you get excited, you go. I don't know if all this other noise really impacts it. And I'm looking at I can't disclose what the numbers are. This is behind the scenes here. But the hourly numbers are phenomenal on the film. So look, all that stuff does right now with social media, whether it be positive or negative, is only serving to raise awareness for Superman. And it's up to you, the moviegoer, to decide if you want to see it or not at the end of the day.
Is it a nostalgia play as well? Because I did notice that the font for the Superman titles, it does call back to the 1978 Richard Donner iteration of Superman. And is that deliberate?
I think it's absolutely deliberate. I think the whole notion of, you know, bringing back so many movies, you know, if you look at, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and there's going to be a Freakier Friday. There are so many brands that are old, even How to Train Your Dragon, the new one. I mean, everything's based on something else. So I just think it's very interesting that those callbacks, I think people like that nostalgia factor. And it's true. You're absolutely right, Rob. It looks like the original credits and the music is a callback to the original. And Richard Donner did a great job. That was an amazing film back in 1978. That movie opened December 15, 1978, the Christopher Reeve Superman. What a great film. Some consider that the best.
Well, Paul, as when I heard that Gene Hackman died earlier this year, the first thing I found on YouTube was him yelling at Ned Beatty when he wanted to have a town called Otisburg. So, yes, that movie does cast a long shadow for me. Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tranking company ComScore in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, the Chicago Sky's Angel Reese is on a marketing roll.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's been a big week for Chicago Sky star Angel Reese. She unveiled her new Reebok sneaker line. She debuted on the cover of a video game, marking a major moment in the continuing rise of the WNBA. We welcome in Julia Poe, Chicago Bulls and Sky reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Julia, thank you for joining us today. And I'm starting to get a little bit of, provincialism here, Julia. I mean, the story of star in the WNBA usually starts and stops at Caitlin Clark, but Angel Reese's star is just as big, it seems.
Yeah, you know, it's just really interesting to see in general how the rise of stardom, whether it's Sabrina Ionescu with the popularity of her shoe, Angel with her new shoe, Asia Wilson debuting hers, you're just seeing a boom in kind of the way that business is being approached around these women's basketball stars.
And of course, the Reebok and other athletic apparel companies would not be making these significant investments if they did not believe the market or the audience was there.
Of course. And I think that's what's so interesting about women's basketball and the way that it's been kind of invested in, bet on over the last three decades. You know, you look back at 1995, Cheryl Swoops has the first women's basketball shoe come out at that time. And then there's just this huge vacuum. No new shoes, no new, you know, players are doing player editions, PEs, which are basically types of colorways on other male athletes' shoes. But you just don't really see an investment in the popularity of some of these women. I think you look at like a Maya Moore, a Sue Bird, some of those missed opportunities. And now it feels like these companies really, really don't want to miss out on some of those chances to make money off of these shoes.
Now, if big sports, for lack of a better term, understands the marketing potential in Angel Reese, what is that going to mean for the Sky if they ever become a championship contender, much less a championship team once again?
Well, I think it's kind of almost flips on its head. Angel Reese is an incredible businesswoman and is also an incredible athlete. And I think, you know, when you look at the way that WNBA rookie salaries and rookie contracts are structured, the Sky need to be figuring out what they're going to do to make sure that they can retain a talent like Angel Reese and others that they're trying to draft. So I think when you look at it on that level, you know, the Sky is a team that has won a championship before, but they have really struggled since to have long sustained success. So I think when they're looking at the way that they're structuring themselves, both as a business and as an actual competitive basketball team, they need to be looking at how they can create a market, an environment where players such as not just Angel Reese, but Akalia Copper, other stars that have left in the past, they need to build an environment where players like that want to stay for the long term.
And speaking of the environment, this is an environment league-wide where money is just pouring into every nook and cranny of the W right now, because not only do you have these very lucrative marketing deals that are being reached with players, but you also have expansion, including expansion into cities that had a WNBA franchise way back when.
Definitely. I mean, the WNBA kind of runs through the Midwest now with Detroit and Cleveland both getting franchises back that used to exist in the WNBA in its early years and then moved away. And I think that that's, you know, just a reflection of how there was always a pathway to sustained success, sustained support for a lot of these markets. And whether it was bad business, whether it was just teams not succeeding, ownership, et cetera, we're seeing that a lot of these markets really do want to have a future in women's basketball. And so I think that whether that's Toronto, whether that's Golden State, or whether that's, you know, some of these Midwestern teams like Detroit and Cleveland, those teams are going to be kind of paving the way for what this new future of the WNBA looks like.
Julia Poe, Chicago Bulls and Sky reporter for the Tribune, thank you for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, a lively Japanese dining tradition is expanding to Chicago.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are mixed right now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana. Find him online at horizoninvestment.com. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And I've been away from the Noon Business Hour desk for about a week. And the last time we spoke on this show, it seemed like the tariff uncertainty of April was a thing of the past, and that deals were being made, the potential for deals were driving the markets. And then we have this Canada thing, and that introduced that uncertain feeling once again.
Yeah, it seems like just when we're kind of getting comfortable with the uncertainty that you have announcements like this with Canada and you know, Vietnam being kind of surprised by the tariff announcement, et cetera. So, you know, it is interesting, though, that, you know, it is coinciding at a time when the market was due for any kind of a pullback. I mean, we've had such a tremendous run here over the last number of weeks. So the fact that, you know, the Dow is down, you know, as we speak, around 0.5% today, it shouldn't be surprising in a sense. It's had quite a run. And in fact, you know, while the tariffs seem to be taking down the Dow, you've got the NASDAQ, which is flat to slightly higher. So it's kind of unfazed by this. And I think that's going to continue to be the case until, you know, until the market sees kind of definite follow through on a lot of the tariff threats or tariffs that are being put on are stayed on for, you know, a multi-month period of time. And that hasn't been the case up to this point.
Yeah, the latest announcement with Canada, a 35% tariff on Canada, threatened higher tariffs across the board. If Canada retaliates, a 50% tariff on Brazil unveiled this week. And this is happening as we are entering earnings season for the second quarter. And do these tariff announcements send these companies scrambling to revise their forward guidance?
Yeah, I don't know if it sends them to scrambling. Companies have been pretty conservative, lukewarm, however you want to couch it, in terms of what, you know, guidance on the second half of the year. And I think that's for good reason. The thing that does concern me a little bit, and I don't want to be alarmist, but the one thing about the earnings that does bother me, not so much the second quarter. Second quarter earnings are going to be just fine. I'm more concerned about if the pull forward that we have seen in a number of industries because of the tariff uncertainties and because of people trying to get out in front of potential tariffs, if that pull forward into the first half of this year kind of exhausts demand a little bit in the second half of the year, and that leads to a little bit of erosion in earnings expectations in the second half of the year, which wouldn't necessarily be good for stocks. So I think that's the thing that we're watching, you know, in the second quarter. The absolute earnings that are reported should be fine. What kind of guides are companies starting to provide for the third and fourth quarters as it relates to specifically this pull forward that we have seen in certain industries?
And when we talked about the Dow theory several weeks ago, still flashing that bearish signal, you talked about the delicate state of the Dow transports, and this latest announcement probably doesn't help.
It doesn't. Now, they had a big day yesterday on the back of Delta Airlines having a pretty good quarter, and that stock showing some really big gains, and that kind of was a nice move for the transports in general. But yeah, the tariff stuff is typically not favorable for economically sensitive cyclical companies such as a lot of the transports, and we're seeing that a little bit today with the Dow transports down 0.5% as we speak.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond. Find him online at horizoninvestment.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, providing a live Japanese-style dining experience in Chicago.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and today we meet the co-founder of a restaurant group that's bringing Tokyo's bold izakaya culture to the city's west town neighborhood with Hiro Izakaya, blending tradition, fire-grilled fare, and adventurous cocktails. We welcome in Nader Hindo, who is the co-founder of the Celeste Group and of the Chicago-based hospitality group behind Hiro Izakaya in Westtown. Nader, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Now, talk about this particular type of dining. What is it, and how does it differ from the other Japanese dining experiences we may be used to in the Chicago area?
Yeah, thank you. So Hiro is a modern Japanese izakaya. The izakaya is a Japanese equivalent to like the bar and grill or a pub in a Western hospitality. And it's kind of similar. It's like, you know, for Hiro in particular, it's like bold flavors, live fire, robotic grilling, sushi, small plates, served in a relaxed, energetic neighborhood setting.
Now, when you were coming up with this concept for the restaurant, first off, when did you first experience it yourself? And then when did you come to the realization that this could potentially be a winner in Chicago?
So we frequent Tokyo. We travel quite a bit. My partners, my brothers and our partner. And we're always looking at bringing in some unique concepts that we've experienced, you know, as we travel, and to bring it and port it to in a natural way, in an organic way that fits the city. And that's, you know, we've experienced izakaya since I've started drinking and going out to Japanese places. It's a much more relaxed setting, not a very traditional Japanese, kind of environment, very thoughtful, very meticulous. And it's still quality there, and everything is Japanese, but it's in a very bar-friendly kind of social environment.
And then when you're trying to recruit people to work in the kitchen or run the kitchen, are you going to Japan to find them, or are you looking for experts based in this country?
Yeah, well, we are a very local group, and everything we built from is kind of homegrown. We obviously have a plethora of, like in our hospitality group, we have various concepts, but we pull in from experienced chefs. The people we have behind the kitchen team have been behind places like they worked at Nobu in Chicago, and they were behind the kitchen program at places like Sunda and Sushi Wabi. So we have it's a very home, organically grown team and skill set that is honed to kind of port what a current modern Tokyo izakaya feels like in Tokyo. If you go to Tokyo right now, this is what you kind of feel.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is the win here, obviously the win is succeeding in Chicago, but do you want this to succeed as a Japanese-inspired restaurant in Chicago, or do you want this to be a place where if someone is traveling in from Tokyo and they walk into your door, they feel like they never left?
It's a combination of both. I mean, believe it or not, we have a lot of our frequent guests that have become almost regulars now. Our people are Chicagoans who have traveled to Tokyo, who have lived in Tokyo, and they come in and it's like, this reminds me of the trip and the places we went to. And it's just, it's a kind of a nostalgia. If you travel and you go somewhere and it's like, and then you come back home, you kind of miss that sort of experience, the food, the touch on the pulse, finger on the pulse of what's happening right now in these destinations. And to feel it and experience it in Chicago is something we cherish and we try to achieve.
Nader Hindo, co-founder of the Celeste Group, the Chicago-based hospitality company behind Hiro Izakaya in the Westtown neighborhood. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Still to come, a Georgia-based chicken restaurant chain has its sights on the Chicago area market. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Zaxby's is coming to Chicago. The Georgia-based chicken chain signed a multi-unit deal with several locations planned and the first opening within the next year. Joining us with the details is Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. And not too long ago on this program, Izzy, we talked about how Cane's Chicken has surpassed Kentucky Fried Chicken, or KFC, to become the third largest chicken chain in America. And it seems like Zaxby's wants in on the action.
Well, they do. And, you know, they brought in a new CEO in, I think, 22. And that person is changing their expansion strategy and moving to the Midwest. So they're a real sleeper in the Midwest. I don't really know anybody in Chicago that really knows of Zaxby's. But in Georgia and the South, you know, a well-known brand, and they already have, even before they get to Chicago, I think 900 locations.
What is it about chicken that makes it attractive from a cost standpoint and from a menu simplicity standpoint?
Well, certainly the cost did go up, you know, during the COVID period, but has dropped back down. So the cost is very stable. You know, unlike the meat market, which tends to go up and down a little bit more. So it's stable. And chicken, there's so much that you can do with it, right? I mean, everybody knows about the chicken fingers and those kind of things. But Zaxby's and other places, you know, have turned the chicken fingers into sandwiches and using the chicken to make quesadillas. So it's a very flexible thing about it at the Zaxby's and some of these other chicken places. Is it's food that's not sitting around. It's cooked fresh. You're getting it, you know, you order it, they're cooking it, and you get it just that way. So it's a big plus, certainly in the fast food market.
Now, taking a look at Zaxby's menu, it seems to be placed firmly in between Cane's and Chick-fil-A, because Cane's, of course, it's simplicity. It's the chicken fingers, it's the fries, it's the Texas toast. Thank you very much. That's all you get. And Chick-fil-A, their menu has a few more options. It's a little more complex. And as you pointed out, they do have the chicken tenders quesadillas. They do have salads. So if you want a little bit of variety, and one would imagine a place that's actually open on Sundays, it seems like that's the Zaxby's difference.
Well, it is. And they, you know, their selection is a little bit wider, you know, and they do things even that aren't even chicken. So they do have a vegetarian or what they call a veggie egg roll. So they're trying to supplement the chicken with some other things that will bring people in as well. But they do have a number of combinations that you can get. And as you said, their menu, I think your description is right. It's a good mix between their two competitors.
And then very quickly, both Chick-fil-A and Cane's have had a great deal of success in the Chicago area. KFC has been here for decades. And yet we also have local favorites as well, like Harold's or restaurants that are known for their fried chicken in the Chicago area for their fried chicken days. But it seems like even though Chicago is very provincial when it comes to other foods, they don't mind importing fried chicken from the South.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, Harold's is a good example of, you know, that's one company not worried about, you know, Chick-fil-A and Zaxby's and these other places, because Harold's does, you know, they do their Chicago thing. Their menu is, you know, really geared towards, you know, our market. So, I mean, it's very distinct if you're going to go to one, you know, Harold's or Zaxby's. But Zaxby's, you know, it'll be interesting. As I said, they're a big name in the South. They have a lot of locations. So, people haven't heard of it, but now that they've announced they're coming to Chicago, I'm sure when they open, the lines will be long.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. The Restaurant Coach in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
My God!
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam!
Ohtani, inevitable!
Walk off, baby! This is the best!
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.